Venu Gita. This seminar is given by His Holiness Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj at Haridwar. Topic: Venu Gita.
श्री कृष्ण और बलराम के साथ वह अद्भुतम अलौकिक कर्म लीला दावाग्नि है। दावाग्नि से मोक्षम मुक्ति आत्मनः अपनी गोपहार गोपगण श्रीभ्यः स्त्रियों से समाचक्षु खूब अच्छी तरह से बताए। प्रलंब बधाम प्रलंबासन का वध एवं और च भी सब इस परम पावन हरिद्वार धाम में पधारे हैं श्रीमद् भागवतम सुनने के लिए।
All of you have assembled here on this topmost purifying Haridwar at the banks of Mother Ganga to hear on the leelas of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. I glorify all of you and I thank all of you for this. One is to desire and the other is to come here and listen and thus fulfill your desire. Why will Krishna not be pleased? I am also fortunate to glorify the Lord in midst of you devotees. On the banks of Mother Ganga, I am glorifying that person from whose very feet Mother Ganga has emanated. What could be more auspicious than hearing on the topics of the Lord here at the bank of Mother Ganga? Shastra says that one should bathe the body with waters of Ganga and bathe the soul with Krishna Katha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tayostat Adbhutam Karma Davagner Moksham Atmanaha Gopaha Stribhyaha Samachakyuhu Pralamba Vadam Evacha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, to the ladies of Vrindavana, the cowherd boys then related in full detail Krishna's and Balarama's wonderful activities of delivering them from the forest fire and killing the demon Pralamba. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking this on the banks of Mother Ganga. It is being said here that the wonderful activities of Krishna and Balarama were being described by the Gopa boys to the gopis in Vraja. So, what was the wonderful activity? The wonderful activities that were being described here are the drinking of the forest fire by Krishna and the leela of killing of the Pralambasura by Balarama. Now, both these leelas happened on the same day. Krishna drank the forest fire with his mouth. This was an amazing event that had happened. The forest had caught fire and the cows and the cowherd boys were all in danger. Krishna told them to close their eyes and he drank the forest fire and thus he saved them. And on the same day, the event of Balarama killing the demon Pralamba also took place. The demon Pralamba was thrown high up in the air by Balarama and he was killed. Now today we are talking about this incident after 5,000 years. But these boys were saying it on that very day when it had happened. So you can imagine with what intensity and what excitement these topics were discussed and heard. And who were the listeners? Mostly the gopis with the Vatsalya Bhav and the elderly gopas. So it is being said here, Samachakhyuhu. In the shloka, the word Samachakhyuhu meaning Samachakhyuhu. That means they described the entire incident in full, complete details with lots of anurag. And who were the listeners? In the next shloka, it is said, Gopa Vriddhascha Gopyascha. That means the elderly gopas and the elderly gopis. Now, when the the leela was described, it doesn't mean that one single gopa was saying the entire leela. No, rather, every one of them were so excited in telling the various things related to the leela, each one would say, and another would interrupt to fill in something which must have been missed out by the previous one. So in this way, each and everyone was too enthusiastic and everyone was in the full excitement trying to explain what had happened. In this way, everyone was describing the leela. Now, if you see, the forest fire leela happened later and Pralambasura Vadha happened prior to the forest fire leela. However, while describing the leelas, the kids first said the forest leela and then they said the killing of the Pralamba. Why? This is because in the forest fire leela, everyone was put into danger. All the cows, the cowherd boys, they were all in danger. And so, this leela had put them into such an anxiety that they were so anxious to say it first. Whereas in the Pralamba leela, only Lord Balram was in trouble. No one else was in trouble. Because Pralamba was taken far away from them by Balarama. Balarama took this demon far away and then he killed them. So the rest of the cowherd boys and cows were not in danger. But in the forest fire leela, they were all in danger. So they were all highly excited and enthusiastic about mentioning, describing that leela, the forest fire leela. And hence that leela is being mentioned first, followed by the Pralambasura Vadha. The rainy season began. The sky began to rumble with thunder, and lightning flashed on the horizon. Sky began to rumble with thunder, and lightning flashed on the horizon. So Krishna is looking up to the sky, and Sukadeva Goswami is describing what is being seen by Krishna. What is Krishna seeing? The rainy season began. Sarva sattva samudbhava. During the rains, all kinds of living beings are born and they flourish. Hence, rainy season is like a mother to all living beings. Sarva sattva samudbhava. All kinds of living beings are samudbhava. They are utpanna, born, and they flourish. Just like mother gives birth and nourishes the living entity. Similarly, the Varsha Ritu or the rainy season is a mother to all living entities. This mother, the rainy season, feeds and nourishes all kinds of living beings. We should remember Vrindavan while hearing these descriptions. It is being said here, Vidyotmana Paridhir. In this season, the lightning flashes so much that all the directions up to the horizon are lightened up. The thunder and the lightnings, these are the beauty of the rainy season. Generally, they say that the devatas are having their meetings at this time. When the thunder and lightnings happen, generally people in India, they say the devatas are having their meetings. Krishna also has his meetings with the sakhas in the forest. Now, in this season, the sun and the moon have their meetings. So that's here means that is how the thunder and the lightnings are described. So Vidyotmana Paridhir. Visfurjita Nabastala. Visfurjita Nabastala means in the sky there is a lot of rumbling in the sky. There's a lot of rumbling in the sky due to the thunder. There's a lot of rumbling in the sky during the rainy season. Now, when Sukadeva Goswami in the coming shlokas, he's going to describe the different aspects or characteristics of the rainy season and the autumn season. And to each of the aspect, he's also giving us a teaching. There is a lesson that we have to learn. There are two kinds of lessons. One is a lesson on the things that we have to accept or we have to learn from this, from that particular aspect. And another teaching is the lesson that what are the things that we should give up or we should reject from that particular aspect of the rainy season.
Aspasht jyotir achanna brahmeva sagunam bhavo.
Translation by Prabhupada. The sky was then covered by dense blue clouds accompanied by lightning and thunder. Thus, the sky and its natural illumination were covered in the same way that the spirit soul is covered by the three modes of material nature. Now, what is the first teaching that Sukadeva Goswami is giving us here? The first teaching he is giving us by describing the sky during the rainy season. Now, which sky? That very sky which is always seen beautiful at all times is now not seen, being covered by the dense blue clouds, lightnings and thunders, and thus its beauty is covered. And what is the lesson that Sukadeva Goswami is teaching us here? He is saying that similarly, the living beings, when covered by the three modes of material nature, they do not appear attractive. Living beings are natural, by nature, attractive, just like the sky is all beautiful all at all times. But when that sky is covered by these three things, that is, the clouds, the blue clouds, the lightnings and the thunders during the rainy season, the beauty of the sky is covered. Similarly, we living beings, when we are covered by the three modes of the material nature, we do not appear attractive any longer. So now here we have to understand that the three things which cover the sky during the rainy season represents the three modes. The lightning represents the mode of goodness. Thunder represents mode of passion. And the dense blue clouds represents the mode of ignorance. Now, if you look carefully, of the three, the lightning stays for the shortest period, which means that very little people are in the mode of goodness. And the thunder, which represents mode of passion, stays for a little longer than that lightning, which means that there are more people in the mode of passion. And the clouds, which represent the mode of ignorance, are mostly prominent during the rainy season, which means that mostly everyone is in the mode of ignorance. And being covered by the modes, the Swaroop of the living entity or the living being is covered. What is the Swaroop of the living being? The Swaroop of the living being is a natural tendency to love Krishna, that is bhakti, and that becomes covered. Now, how can one get rid of all these coverings? How does the sky get rid of these coverings which are there in the rainy season? These coverings go away when the Sharad season comes. Sharad season is the autumn season. The sky gets lit by the sky. The sky gets lit by the sun, and the sun removes away all the clouds, and this beautiful sky is revived. So when Sharad season comes, all the coverings of the sky go away. Similarly, by being in devotee association, by doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Dham Vas, all these activities which are related to bhakti can help us get rid of these coverings, the three modes which are covering us. Now, what is the thunder? The sky gets covered by the thunder. What is the thunder? Garjanam. Garjanam means thunder. What is the thunder for the devotees? Thunder for devotees is the talking of unwanted material topics. So we shouldn't do Garjanam. We should only take the names of the Lord. Taking the name of the Lord is not Garjanam. In this way, we can revive our natural tendency to love Krishna. By performing these nine processes, we should remain in our Swaroop of loving Krishna and serving Krishna. Translation: with its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. Now, parjanya, the word parjanya is used for sun. It is also used for clouds and also stands for Lord Indra. Now, the word Parjanya means one who is meant for others' welfare. Now, the sun is meant for others' welfare, clouds are meant for others' welfare, and Indra is meant for others' welfare. So, therefore, this word is meant for all three of them. Now, this particular quote or the shloka is meant, is a teaching for the kings. Just like the sun who draws water out of the earth for 8 long months. And then, when the proper time comes, the sun releases this wealth in the form of rains in the rainy season to the people. Similarly, the kings should draw taxes from the people and release that wealth back to the people when at appropriate times for the welfare of the people. Sun is the king of all the planets. Now, it appears that the sun keeps on drinking up the water from the earth and everything is just getting dried up for months and months together. But in reality, it is the sun which is sending the rains. It is not the clouds. The clouds can't give any rain. They don't give rain. The sun gives rain. The sun gives the same water back. Rather, it gives a more nectarian water, clean and clear water. And this clean nectarian water is filled up in all the ponds, wells, rivers, etc. In this way, the king should never use taxes for his own benefits, but he should return the taxes which he withdraws back to the people at the time of their need, and thus be that wealth should be used for the welfare of the people only. And this is sadhu or saintliness. One should always think in one's mind that I should return much more than what I receive. Like, for example, guru takes seva from disciple, husband takes seva from wife, master takes seva from employees, etc. But when time comes, they should all be returned more than taken. And that is sadhu, sadhupan or saintliness. A difference between a sadhu and a normal man is that a normal man will return as much as he has taken, but a sadhu will return much more than what he has taken. So each one of us should have this attitude and try to be a sadhu. In this way, we should get rid of our debt to others. Now the sun dries up the earth. Now even if the sun wouldn't drink up the earth, even if the sun wouldn't dry up the earth, the water would get flown out into the ocean. Not that the water will remain, rather the same water would get polluted. And the sun, rather, by drying up the earth, drinking up the earth's water, he is actually returning the purified water back to the earth. Otherwise, the same water would flow into the ocean and we would still not have water. But because the sun is drying up the earth's water, we are getting the same water back. Guru returns by giving Gyanamrit. It shouldn't be that the Guru doesn't have time to give teachings. It shouldn't be that the husband doesn't have time to return to take care of the wife when she is in need. So each one of us, be we a king, be we a husband, be we a master, be we anyone, we should try to be a sadhu and return more than what we take. Now next is a description of the clouds during the rainy season. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. Now, what it is being said that the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. What is the life of the clouds? The life of the clouds is water. So when it says the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world, it means the clouds gave water for the pleasure of this world. And Sukadeva Goswami is teaching us a lesson that merciful person should similarly shower the rain of Krishna consciousness for the welfare of the people. However distressed one may be in life, root cause of all the distress is lack of Krishna consciousness. Hence, merciful people should try and engage everyone in Krishna consciousness. For that, merciful people should themselves engage in preaching Krishna consciousness to everyone. This is what we should learn from this particular aspect of the rainy season. Everyone should try and become merciful. Those who have wealth should use their wealth, should become merciful by using their wealth in the welfare of other people. Those who have homes should use their homes in others' welfare. Those who have knowledge should use their knowledge in others' welfare. In this way, we should try and become merciful in all that we are blessed with. If the clouds can give their very life, the life of the clouds is the water. And by giving water to the welfare of people, they are giving their own very life for the welfare of people. We should use our wealth to help everyone who is in need and for the welfare of everyone. Then that particular wealth will appear beautiful to us. That is the beauty of having that wealth or knowledge. Krishna and the Gopas are looking at the clouds, and this is coming in their minds, and Krishna is telling the Gopas, look at these clouds, they are giving their very lives like the merciful people. They are giving their very lives for the welfare of others. And Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that to us. And it is said here, the clouds, great clouds, were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. The fierce winds are shaking the clouds and sweeping them away. And the clouds thus give their lives for the pleasure of this world. What does these fierce winds stand for? They stand for the brahmanas who should be giving the directions to others to use their wealth in giving charity, how their wealth. Brahmanas are the ones who have to guide the other people how to use their wealth, be it money, be it knowledge, they should use their wealth and knowledge in charity. So the fierce winds stands for the brahmanas. The clouds stand for people who have wealth with them, wealth of knowledge or wealth of money or facilities. And the clouds give their lives for the pleasure of the world. The lives, that is the water, stands for the wealth. And lightning, flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Lightning stands for the result of doing this. What is the result of doing welfare to the others? Is giving them Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Tapaha Krisha Devaniha Asid Varsi Yasi Mahi Jathaiva Kamya Tapasa Stanuh Sampratya Tatphalam.
Translation: the earth had been emaciated by the summer heat, but she became fully nourished again when moistened by the god of rain. Thus the earth was like a person whose body has been emaciated by austerities undergone for a material purpose, but who again becomes fully nourished when he achieves the fruit of those austerities. Now, this particular shloka is describing those yogis who perform austerities in order to achieve some materialistic desires. So they perform severe austerities, like, you know, we know Hiranyakashipu and Ravan, who perform very severe austerities to achieve their demonic desires, whatever materialistic desires. And in the process of achieving performing the austerities, they become very thin, they look very lean. But however, once their desires are fulfilled, then they start eating so much in abundance that their lean body starts appearing very stout. So this particular shloka, Krishna is saying, look at this earth. It had been emaciated by the summer heat, but now she's fully nourished again by these rains. And Krishna is telling the gopas, like the austerities performed by materialistic yogis. So what he is teaching here is that, what Sukadeva Goswami is telling us, is that one should never do austerities for such bhoga desires. Rather, all austerities should be performed for self-purification. One should perform austerities for the spiritual self, not for material desires.
जथा पापेन पाषंडा नहीं देदह कलौ युगे.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the evening twilight, during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glow worms but not the stars to shine forth. Just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. So in this circumstance, during the rainy season, one may see that the all light giving, the most significant all light giving moon is covered by the clouds, and the most insignificant no light giving glowworms, they shine forth in abundance. And you can see in general that people glorify these glowworms. They become so excited seeing all these glowworms running around, but you do not see a single, even a tiny ray of excitement from these people when they see the sun or the stars or the moon shining and giving all the light. So what is being sent here is that when during rainy season, the darkness or the clouds cover up the stars and the moon, and they do not allow the stars and the moon, which are the actual real light giving sources, to shine, and they allow the glowworms to shine, and people feel so excited seeing the glowworms, they start glorifying the glowworms. No one glorifies the shine of the moon or the shine of the stars. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, the people like the Mayavadis and atheists, who follow the atheistic doctrines, shine forth predominantly than the true devotees of the Lord, who are actually following the most elevated doctrines like the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the influence of the age of Kali. The predominance of sinful activities allows these atheistic doctrines and the followers of the atheistic doctrines, that is the Mayavadis and the atheists, to shine forth much more than the true devotees who actually follow the real doctrine of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Kali Yuga, it is very common that whenever there is someone to speak something against God, there will be millions of people gathering in that place, in that area, to hear. But if there is any true devotee, pure devotee speaking about the Lord, you may not find so many people attracted to that lecture. So this is the effect of the Kali Yuga, and this is what the rainy season is teaching us. This particular aspect of the rainy season is teaching us this. So how do we remove? We have to remove the clouds, and we have to allow the sun to shine, the bright sun to shine, in the form of Bhagavad Gita as it is. By distributing this book And by giving the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, we should remove the cloud-like ignorance and the cloud-like atheistic doctrines that are prevailing in this Kali Yuga.
परजन्य का निनाद बादल का गर्जन सुनते ही मंडूक कर कर करने लगे
श्रुत्वा परजन्य निनदम मंडुकाः ससृजुर्गिरः तूष्णीं शयानाः प्राज्ञत्वत् ब्राह्मणा नियमात्यये. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The frogs who had all along been lying silent suddenly began croaking when they heard the rumbling of the rain clouds, in the same way that Brahmana students who perform their morning duties in silence begin reciting their lessons when called upon by their teacher. So this particular shloka is saying us, teaching us that just like the frogs who were silent previously, they have started croaking with the rumbling of the rains. Similarly, by the order of the guru and the acharyas, the brahmana students who perform their morning duties in silence, they start reciting their lessons aloud. What it means is that when the guru orders the disciples should preach, then the disciple should go out and preach. When the guru orders to upon receiving the order of the guru, the disciple should preach, disciple should do kirtanam, disciple should follow the instructions of the guru, be it chanting, be it any devotional service. But what we see today is even after receiving instructions from the guru, many people still don't open up. They do not follow instructions of the guru. But the rainy season here, the frogs croaking is teaching us, just like when the frogs hear the rumbling of the rain clouds, the frogs who were silent suddenly start croaking. Similarly, all disciples should follow the orders of the guru, and upon receiving the instructions of the guru should go out and preach loudly, chant loudly, do kirtans in the same way that the frogs croak. If the guru tells us to read the shastra, we should read it. We should keep reading the shastra. In this way, we should follow the instructions of the guru. Just like the frogs follow the instructions of the rumbling of the rain clouds. The frogs are the most insignificant living entities. But as soon as the rain, the clouds rumble, the frogs start croaking. Similarly, we should also chant upon the instructions of the guru. But today, nowadays, we see that not many people follow the instructions of the guru. They still remain silent. Chanting the holy names, reading scriptures, these are the food for the soul. So it is very important that we should follow the instructions of the guru and continue to chant and read the scriptures. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams which had become dry began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses, like the body, property and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. This particular teaching, shloka is teaching us that we should control our senses. The rainy season is teaching us that just like those insignificant streams which had once become dried up, but with the coming of the rains, these very insignificant streams begin to swell and they go out of their courses. Similarly, a man who does not have his senses under control will lose his body, property, money into bad activities. He will lose his he will lose his body, property, and money onto a wrong track. Which means that he will engage his body, his money, and his property in wrong activities. If a man does not have his senses under control, then his mind, his eyes would always want to look at the wrong things. His mind would always urge him to go to the wrong places, and he will use his wealth in accomplishing adharmic activities. So in this way, he would get strayed from his proper course, and all his properties like body, money, and property will all get strayed from their proper course. So in the process of his sense gratification. So the lesson here is that one should keep oneself under the strict codes of scriptures and thus maintain one's body, mind, wealth, and senses and keep them under control on their right track. Translation: the newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue, and white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus, the earth appeared like a person who has suddenly become rich. Here, now, this is a lesson for the kings. Translation: with the wealth of grains, the fields gave joy to the farmers, but those fields created remorse in the hearts of those who were too proud to engage in farming and who failed to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme. So here we can see that with the coming of the rains, the farmers' wealth, that is, the wealth of the farmers is the grains, increase. So the fields are in abundance of grains, and this field, they create happiness in the hearts of the farmers, but it creates remorse in the hearts of those who are rich. So here we can see that the same one situation is giving happiness to some and distress to some. Similarly, in this material world, the wealthy people always desire that the farmers should never prosper. The wealthy people always feel the farmers should always remain under our control. So these wealthy people feel distressed by seeing the fields, which is the wealth of the farmers. So the lesson we have to learn in this is that one should always feel happy seeing the progress and prosperity of the others. And one should never feel envious seeing others' progress and prosperity. Only then one is said to be free of dvesh. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, raga dvesha vimuktaiha. And the whole world is engulfed in raga and dvesh. But we have to get rid of this. Vimuktaiha. We should get rid of raga and dvesh. So we should never be filled with distress and envy seeing others' happiness, seeing others' progress, seeing others' prosperity. Now, a Vaishnava is a paradukkha-dukhi. Who is a Vaishnava? A paradukkha-dukhi. One who feels distressed upon seeing others in distress. And a Vaishnava is a person who feels happy seeing others in happiness. Translation: as all creatures of the land and water took advantage of the newly fallen rainwater, their forms became attractive and pleasing, just as a devotee becomes beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. Now, the param dharma of all living beings is Hari Seva, and the most happiest thing for any living entity is doing Hari Seva. Now, because of this, a living entity engaged in Hari Seva becomes beautiful. So the rainy season, this particular aspect of the rainy season, that all the forms of living beings become attractive and pleasing by taking advantage of the rainwater, teaches us a lesson that devotees become beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada says that hair is one of the most important aspects of beauty. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, As soon as someone joins a movement, in very short time, they completely remove their hair, they shave off their hair as soon as they join. So still, our devotees look much more beautiful than those who have hair. This is Srila Prabhupada's comment. Why? Because our devotees are engaged in the param dharma, which is Hari Seva. That is the swaroop of all living entities, to be in bhakti towards Lord Krishna. And when one is in one's own swaroop, then one becomes attractive. Prahlad Maharaj says that Lord Krishna is to devotees like water is to the aquatics. Aquatics cannot live without water. Similarly, we devotees cannot live without Krishna. Just like the water, aquatics, as soon as they are taken out of the water, they shiver to death. Similarly, living beings, when they are kept away from Krishna, or when they turn their face away from Krishna, they become filled with miseries and distress and sorrows. But when he starts engaging himself in the service of the Lord, then his original position is revived and he becomes peaceful and happy and blissful. Hare Krishna.